As we stand, let us pray. Lord Jesus, God with us, we pray that as we look into the events at Bethlehem on this Christmas day, that you would fill our hearts afresh with your presence and transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do sit down. Well, the time is here. The waiting is over, whether or not you're ready. The day has dawned. Some may breathe a sigh of relief. Others may be agonizing over the fact that the turkey has not yet defrosted. I speak from experience on that one. Children are excitedly telling everyone what Father Christmas has brought them this year, with their presents already unwrapped. Do you know, I started preparing for Christmas as long ago as September. Now, you may be thinking, there's a lady who likes to get ahead. Well, not really. Perhaps you thought that being a priest, I was super spiritual. Sorry to disappoint you on that one. The fact of the matter was that rehearsals had begun for the Crawley Down Ladies' Choir Christmas concert. And back in the second week of September, we were introduced to Gonna Catch That Santa, and we groaned. It's one of those songs that is just a little bit irritating. You just can't get it out of your head. It's all very mysterious. The plot of the song is to catch Santa Claus. He's not just make-believe. Lure him down the chimney with the smell of food, cookies and a glass of milk. Gonna catch that Santa dude. Looking for Santa Claus high and low. Looking for Santa Claus ho, ho, ho. Here's our secret mission. Here's our clever plan. Meet me by the Christmas tree. Gonna catch that Santa man. And everywhere we go, this year it seems that there are images of Santa. And as I look at these images, I think, well, where's Jesus? Has he been pushed out? And so I think it's important that on this day, on this Christmas day when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, that we go back to the story of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Because without Jesus, there would be no Santa, there would be no presents, none of the trimmings and or other traditions that make Christmas so much fun. So let's just set Santa to one side. And think of Mary and Joseph on that road from Nazareth to Bethlehem, called up at a very late stage of Mary's pregnancy when she's just about to deliver. And that trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem was about 70 miles. And all they had was a donkey. That was a bit of a bumpy ride for a very pregnant woman, wasn't it? And that must have been one of those extra things that were added to everything else that was happening all around them. As I was thinking about the news that Mary and then Joseph was later told that they would have a baby, the Son of God. Think of the reaction when Mary became obviously pregnant. Here was a young teenage mum to be soon pregnant out of wedlock. Imagine the disgrace of the fact to the families of both Mary and Joseph, the wagging tongues of the neighbours and others so quick to judge and condemn. And of course, I think that probably changed all the plans that they had set in place for after their wedding was to take place. So the impact of their decision to say yes to God had an immediate impact upon their lives. And I think that their anxiety would have been even greater when they discovered that there was no room at the inn. And then the delivery in that dirty stable. Not the best start in the world for any child. I came across a lovely picture that I can't show you now because of not being able to show our PowerPoint this morning. But it is of Mary slumped on the stable floor with Joseph sitting on a chair beside her. And they both look absolutely emptied out of everything, physically and emotionally. And all they can do is to gaze on this little infant whose lives they are caught up with. It is an intimate moment for this holy family, with their secret waiting, to be told. Do you think it all felt rather unreal to them, that they, Mary and Joseph, a young teenage girl and a carpenter, should be the parents of no ordinary king? I wonder, as Mary gazed at him, at the infant Jesus, what her first thoughts were. There's another song that I picked up at this concert that was extremely powerful, called Mary, Did You Know? And in this, the composer imagines that he's putting questions to Mary years later about what her first impressions were as she gazed at her baby. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water or give sight to the blind man? Did you know that it would be because of Jesus that the deaf will hear and the lame will walk again? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save your sons and daughters? Mary, did you know that this child that you delivered will soon deliver you? Do you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. And in a way, that's going to the heart of the matter, isn't it? I've got here something to show you, because it's so mind-blowingly dazzling, this truth that the greatest ruler and king of all should come to earth and be in the form of a tiny baby. Look, I've got here something that I thought could show it. I'm not saying that this is a perfect symbol of what God could be like, because, as I say, nothing could have contained him. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself in order that he could become so small and to be one of us. God contracted to a span. God made man. God in human shoes. God with the face of a human being who speaks the language of men, who came to tell us of the divine love. And if there's a message that comes to us this Christmas, is that love came down at Christmas. Love so perfect, love so divine, came to show us how to live. He came to be one of us in order that we might become like him. God's gift of love for everyone. God in the midst of us, here to bring healing and salvation and transformation to a world that weeps in bitterness as it's torn apart by hatred and violence and sin, needed now just as it was then. Our generous, life-giving God, who loved the world so much that he became the sacrifice for our sin, with Jesus cradling the world from the cross. He could not have done that without first being cradled in that stable, in the manger at Bethlehem. This is our story. This is our song. It's not about Santa, but actually the legend which has grown up around the real man who was St. Nicholas, who was celebrated in so many countries. It's changed and changed and changed, and layer upon layer of things have been added to it. So that, as I said at the beginning, Christ has been pushed out, as I said a couple of years back. When you take the Christ out of Christmas, all you're left with is M&S. So, looking briefly to the life of St. Nicholas, let's think about him a minute. He became a bishop in the 4th century. He had been born to committed Christian parents who had died while he was still young. And he was left a lot of wealth by them. He decided to take Jesus' words literally and to follow Jesus, to give up everything that he had, to humble himself and to pour out his life for others. And so he had a particular ministry to the poor, the sick and the suffering. In one famous story, he heard about the plight of a man with 3 daughters. This man was so poor he couldn't even afford to pay the dowry for 1 daughter. And so in the secret of the night, he crept to the man's house and threw a bag of gold through the window. And it landed by a stocking warming by the fireplace. Hence the tradition that we have now of placing a stocking by the chimney. So let us learn from St. Nicholas's example of his generous giving in response to Jesus, God's greatest gift of all. When the songs of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the king and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to build the nations, to bring peace among brothers, and to make music in our heart. This is our story. This is our song. Amen.